And again, continuing to notice how this moment is. Recognizing it doesn't need to be calm or still or pleasant for the mind to recognize what's happening. Quality of awareness is receptive. It meets experience, allows or notices. So anytime we recognize what the state of mind is, when we recognize that the heart feels overwhelmed or caught, we don't have to assume that we're not knowing the experience. So the experience doesn't need to change. remembering that everything is Dhamma. Thoughts are Dhamma. Feelings are Dhamma. The body is Dhamma. When we see things as nature, as lawfully arising, we can learn to face the edges of our experience. We can learn to open, allow, soften. No experience is wrong. It may be difficult to face, but no experience is wrong. So we're practicing. We learn how to use the right amount of energy to simply check to see if the mind is aware. We check the attitude. Is the mind wanting something? Wanting to change experience? Is there simply a settling back and allowing experiences to be as they are? Learn how to see the views that are in the mind. Some ideas about what should be happening or what shouldn't be happening. The subtle agenda and judgments. We learn how to bring in our own wisdom, the right view, how to look at experience. lightly checking to see if there's interest in the mind. Just enough. We can drop in questions that are suitable. Might ask, is there anything in experience right now that's already happening that the mind can't be aware of? Or what else is there? What else can the awareness know? It's natural that the mind begins to notice more as momentum has gathered. Can we simply appreciate these small noticings? You don't have to figure anything out, just appreciating the capacity of the mind to know. To notice. We want to see the Dhamma as a way of life. Learning how to live with awareness. Use our wisdom. Cultivate the qualities of the heart. Just a couple words on this phase of the retreat. We have less than 2 days until we part. It's quite natural for that to have some kind of impact on the mind. So we can start thinking and planning about the future, how we'll be continuously aware at home, what good yogis will be every day. So that's natural also to have these thoughts. And to really use the time here to see how the mind starts to meet a change, an ending. It's a good opportunity to just see how much the mind maybe starts to think more about what's going to come and how that impacts the mindfulness, if the mindfulness tends to get weak around that or if it's stable. Maybe there's more emotions that are stirred up around the ending, how the ideas can already be packing up and leaving, even if we haven't physically started packing. So just staying curious around the process of what this experience is like as we move towards an ending. This part of experience is changing. It's interesting, every day comes to an end, so that has a certain flavor. And it has a different texture when we really notice it. And then waking up in the morning, new day has a different texture to it, different feeling. The beginning of a sitting sometimes has its own unique kind of taste, and the ending has its own experience. So it's very simple. The more kind of continuously aware we are, we start to really see experience in this way. We get sensitive to every meeting. Actually can be very precious because we already have in our mind it's going to end. Every meeting, as I say in Tibetan, they say every meeting ends in parting. So we already have that idea in the mind when we meet. There's a preciousness about life. One of the reflections that the Buddha said is worthwhile doing every day is to reflect on death. And it's not a morbid thing to do that, but to really bring that in to our life. It's part of life. And when we're asleep to the notion of this body too will die, so easy to miss this precious experience that we have and the chance to cultivate ourselves. So interesting, when I'm much more sensitive to my own mortality, and then if I'm looking at someone else and I really remember, oh, you too won't be here for too long, it just cuts through so many of the stories and the extra stuff, and there's a much more immediate experience because it's awake to the reality. It seems to really bring into clarity what's of value. And a lot of things that the mind thinks are of value are just based in attachments and fears and comparison. And it's so obvious to our minds, if we are faced with some, you know, very frightening or threatening situation, almost a near-death experience, it's so clear what's of value. We know very deeply what is truly meaningful. So awareness gives us that ability to stay very connected. Not, you know, holding on too precious, but just connected to the significance of things. Just remembering when I had bought this phone I currently have, and I was leaving the store and I was really fascinated by the phone. Amazing, you know, I was just trying to figure it out, and then I was holding the phone and driving away from the stores that night, and I was so close to a fatal accident. And it's amazing how, like, this phone was so significant in that moment. It's like, this thing is so amazing, it's awesome, it's so shiny. You know, and then you're almost dead. 2 seconds later. And if, you know, if this rebirthing process is true, what kind of rebirth would I have had being attached to the phone? Who knows? You know, they say the state of mind that you die with. I don't know what that would look like. So. Really nice just hearing people's practice. You know, just over the days, we don't think we're going to get anywhere. And then within, where are we, a week in? And the momentum for all of us is significant. And we're seeing so much what the mind does, these little quirks and behaviors. And someone was saying how they move their hands when they speak, and, you know, the voice, or how we overspeak, or all the judging and fears that come up, and all these little things we notice, they're discoveries, they're insights into what's already happening. This body and mind are already happening. And Sayadaw was just saying, it's so amazing, it's wonderful, it's fabulous. And he was going through all the synonyms that he could think of, these wonderful, you know, things, trying to advertise how wonderful the Dhamma is, that when you really know yourself, it's such a wonderful experience. Because then you understand life, and you understand other people, and we know how to relate and what to do in life and how to spend our time. So really wonderful to practice with you. And just taking a moment to connect with the kind of goodness of the day, what was cultivated. And you might bring to mind someone that is having a hard time in life that you're close to. If there is someone, and if not, just thinking of beings who are having difficulty. So may the merit of this practice, these wholesome qualities of mind and heart, the wisdom, the understanding, this lessening of suffering, may this be shared, may this be radiated outward. May you be free from suffering. May you know peace of mind and heart. So may all beings in all the directions, near and far, may all beings be free. So thank you again for your commitment and your energies. And this is this is a place we come together for practice, and even though all the teachings are to be offered, where they're pointing for us to practice all the time, there's also something so valuable about being here in a space that everyone is committed to doing this work. So if you have energy to continue into the night, it can be really beautiful to be up at night or up early in the morning practicing, even though Sayadaw doesn't sometimes incline towards that striving energy. He's a monk. He's living, this way all the time. So we can really use this time to be like that, 100% committed to this opportunity, and it's a training, and then we continue in our life with these skills that we develop and some of the momentum. So just a little plug for striving. I'm not much of a striver in that way, but I do love the Dhamma, and it gives a lot of energy. So if you have energy, use it.